You know, when the presence of God is in the house, you need to go with him. Grab hold of him. A smell, just a smell sets us off of the presence of the living God. Yeah? I heard what was said this morning. He's done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless his holy name. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
This is my best friend, Sally. Stand up, that'd be great. My very best friend. And this is what happens when you hang out with your best friend. Stand up, Stephanie. This is Stephanie. Sally dressed me this morning. She got this coat for me and she said, I always wanted to get this coat, but you are not allowed to fold up the cuffs. Which I did. Last bastion of self-will. Father, we pray, my God, right now that you would touch us. Father, that you would move on our behalf. Father, we ask, my God, that you would change us. I think Roger said that at the beginning of the service. Change us, Lord. Lord, and make us different to when we came up and came in. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. You've heard distractions. God usually is, you don't have to wait for the preacher, because usually God's speaking to all the people. They come into the house of God, and there's something bubbling underneath all the time. And we had to put aside distractions. We're saved, redeemed. Let us know that. And so this morning, I want to let you know that you are. God has a plan. He's working to a plan. You're a part of that plan. I'm really excited to be here, because last time I was here, there was one third of the people that are in this room now. Gently, gently, one by one, as we grow in the house of God, he has his purposes. So this morning I want to speak to you about living from eternity and not for eternity. You know, when I became a Christian, I thought I would just do enough to get into heaven, living, you know, for eternity, so I could grab hold of it. And if I could get through those pearly gates with the door shutting and just the smell of sulfur on my tail as I got through, I would have done enough. But it's not like that. Today I want to talk about from eternity rather than for eternity. Because a lot of us are working to get hold of something, and we have this great hope. Oh, it's most excellent hope that he has given us, that we have a hope beyond the veil. We have that. Every single one of you people are the most privileged people on the face of God's green earth, because it doesn't matter what happens. If somebody runs you over in the car park, you're straight into glory. And you've been waiting a long time to go home. Yeah? And you won't be wanting to come back. Maybe the people here will be wanting you to come back because they don't understand. But when you get there, you will not be coming back for us. In fact, the last thing you'll be thinking about is us. You'll be home. I said to Sally, I was limping along. I had a sore leg. I said, I cannot wait till I get home. There'll be pounds drop. The knee will work. Praise God. Me and Sal will be able to dance again. She doesn't want that, no. Right. When I got saved in 1974, at that point, I thought I was going to live forever. I didn't understand that eternity doesn't have a beginning and doesn't have an end. You know, forever, it's a long time. It goes both ways. Eternity is huge. And when I received Jesus, I stepped into eternity, both forward and back.
I stepped into something that's huge. And this morning we said that. Let us know, Lord, of our Redeemer and that we are saved. Well, we have stepped into something that goes way beyond. It goes forward and into our past. In Ephesians 2, verse 6, and he raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. You think you're in Invercargill right now, but you are not. You are seated with him in heavenly places. That's where you are today. I don't care what you feel like. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what happened before or what's going to happen after. Right now, you are seated with him in heavenly places. Something has shifted. Something has changed. Something eternal. Something that is going to move you. You know, it says there in 2 Corinthians 5:17, so that if anyone is in Christ, that one is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. It's like every time another model comes out of a car, it's a new model. They haven't had that model before. When you come in and you get touched by the presence of the living God, yeah, and you become a new creation, you have never been this model before. You're totally new. You're new. If we look at ourselves in the mirror in the morning, we may consider ourselves to be old. But he says you are a new creature. When you receive Jesus Christ, you become a new creation, never before created in two dimensions simultaneously, heaven and earth. You're incredible. Render to Caesar what Caesar's and render to God what is God's. The question is, do we want to live from earth to heaven or from heaven to earth? Because I've got to tell you, as it is in heaven, so it is on the earth. And the empowerment and the expectation that you have, you live out of heaven. You're going to go to heaven, but that's looking for heaven. I'm talking about the work that we have to do now. As I see you right here and I see you growing, there's something on the earth that changes as you access heaven. It's an open heaven. When he went to the cross, the heavens, the curtain was torn. It was ripped. It was ripped. You don't need me. We come together to fellowship, to be strong, and to. This is our team talk this morning. Come on, church. Rah, rah, rah. Let's get out there and go. But you don't need me. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the presence of God to access heaven and change things on earth. We're seated in heavenly places. I mean, those words in Ephesians 2, he has raised us up together and we're seated with him. It sounds like poetry. It's beautiful. But we've got to believe it because we've heard it too many times. Too many times we hear these words. Not will be done, but we are seated in heavenly places. We are. I am. You are seated in heavenly places with him. He's timeless. Says in Revelations that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. I thought he died 2,000 years ago. It said from the foundation of the world, my God was slain on the cross. Can you get a hold of your God where he was slain from the foundation of the world before we even got here to muck it up? He died for you and he died for me. It's mind-blowing. Before the world was created, they crucified the Lamb that was slain. Wow. Us, Ephesians 1:4, according he chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Us, before the foundation of the world. You are not a mistake. He chose you before the foundation of the world. So not only was Jesus slain, but he chose you back there too. I found Jesus, maybe if you were 9 or 18 or 60 or whatever. I've been saved probably 50 years. And he saved me before I was even in my mother's womb. He knew me. God is so big. I just struggle with the bigness of God. Before the womb, before I formed you, Jeremiah, you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I consecrated you, ordained you as a prophet to the nations. I've got to tell you, there's a lot of folk in here that have been consecrated to do the work that God's called you to do before the very beginning of time. It's incredible. He created time. Genesis 1 verse 4, God saw the light, it was good, and God divided between the light and the darkness, and God called the light day, and he called the darkness night, and the evening, the morning, were of the first day. God created time. He doesn't live in it. He doesn't live in it. He created time. The timeless zone. Genesis 1, 14, 16, sun, moon, stars for days, years, and seasons. God creates this time. Time is a created thing. Stop looking at it ticking by. He just made it up. Let it be. John says this in Revelation 4. He says, after these things, he looked, and behold, the door was open in heaven, and a voice which I heard was a trumpet talking to me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things that must occur. God wants to take you this morning to a place where you can see from a perspective, from a new perspective, foresight that comes with insight. If you understand who your God is, then you will have foresight because you have insight. I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end, who is and was and is to come. Amen. The past, the future, and the present. This prophesy into. I've got to tell you, your words are powerful. A man came up to me and he said, I've called you to be a shepherd. It changed my life at 13 years old. I was totally changed because the word of God, the power of God, the word, it says, is going to go. It's never going to be done away with. And when the word of God is spoken into your heart, it shifts you, it moves you. This morning, the whole purpose is to shift you and to move you from where you are to where he wants you to be. That you're not looking at you know, heaven and the sweet by and by, and kumbaya, but that you're looking to be empowered by the kingdom to do the work on the earth. Yeah? That's what God is wanting to do. He is the timeless one. It says, I've got this Mark 12, 20, and it goes all the way down, but I'll maybe just paraphrase it a wee bit there. But there was the Sadducees, they didn't believe in the afterlife. They didn't believe in resurrection, really. And so they were really having it on with Jesus and saying, look, this woman had a husband and he died, and then another husband, he died, and another husband, he died. Seven husbands later, and they all died, which she's probably not a good bet. I wouldn't have married her. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Because they're asking, who does she belong to? Well, she doesn't belong to anybody. I dare a man to say that you belong to me, to his wife. But they are as the angels, heaven. And as regards the dead, they rise. And have you not read in the book, Moses, that God spoke to him in the bush, saying, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but he is the God of the living. The point is this, is there is no dead. There is no dead. No one dies. No one dies. I don't know how it works, but I know that if I die now and Sally dies in 10 years' time, We could possibly just end up, because he's got time. So we gauge time, but he doesn't gauge time. I'm not sure how it's going to work, but I might get there and Sally might get there at the same time. Yeah. See, we fear death when it's not a fear that we should have as a Christian.
Come on.
We're going home.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, hold a gun to your head. Make my day. Come on. Christians should be the people that take the most risks. They should be the people that stand in the way of danger if there's others that do not know Christ as their personal Savior. You were born to risk because He has taken your risk away. There is no risk to you. God is a God of the living. You misunderstand. When Sally's father died, her mother was there by the coffin, and they were worshiping and singing praise songs. She had her hand up. She was glorifying God for the time that she had with this man. But there was not a sense of loss, but of gain. If Sally dies, I'll be crying, but it'll be around tea time. The Bible says, and we glibly say there, that all things work together for good for them that are in Christ Jesus. Yeah? Who are called according to His purpose. We have an anchor. I had an anchor. I was going to bring an anchor today, but I decided not to. But we have, as Christians, an anchor that goes beyond the veil. So it doesn't matter what happens here. We have this anchor that we hang on to that goes beyond the veil. We are working from heaven to earth. We have that strength and that power. And there's going to be a moment in the time, it says, where the angel stands on the land and the sea and declares that there is time no more. You and I stand on this small sandbar of time between two oceans of eternity. Let's bring it into perspective. Let's put it where it lies. The problem is the all things bag. How does that work out? Why will that work out? All things work together for good for them that are in Christ Jesus. You want to throttle people that say that when you're going through trouble, aren't you? You know, you just ding the car. Oh, well, all things work together for good for them that are in Christ Jesus. You know, you want to send them to heaven. But Hebrews 6 says, here we have an anchor to our soul that goes beyond the curtain. Why will it work out? For whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. For Him to be the firstborn among many brothers. That's what the Lord. But to whom He predestined, He also called. Whom He called, He also justified. And whom He justified, He also glorified. You remember the time? Well, no, you weren't there. You're not that old, are you? Where Moses... Was it Moses going up the hill? And he said, show me your glory, Lord. And he says, I'll show you my goodness. He says, show me your glory, Lord. And he says, I'll show you my... It's like they weren't speaking the same language. You know, who are glorified? The goodness of God. Yes. Do you know the goodness of God followed you in here? Surely goodness and mercy follow you all the days, not just some.
Yes.
All the days it followed you in here, it will follow you out. You have goodness and mercy, and they follow you all the time. All the time. Whom He predestined before the foundation of the world. He didn't make you choose Him. He knew you would choose Him. Here today, He knows you're going to be here. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He's been planning this for a long, long, long time. You need to choose Him, and you need to choose Him today, now. What did you say? Something now. He's got his eyes closed. Wake up. Yeah, now.
Suddenlies.
God can do it now. His word can open things now. You know, it's like a train in the caboose.
the kingdom of God is running, you're running through God's kingdom, and he can get on at any time, any time, any time, any time on your train. Jesus crosses the line because he made time. He crosses every line that you've got. God gets on the train any time that he wants. That's why he said to Jeremiah, he went to the place where Jeremiah would be. He's seen his future. He said, I've anointed you before the foundation of the world to become be a prophet to the nations, whom he foreknew, he predestined. He knew you before the foundation. He's been there. How did he know that? In 1974, he saw me here today speaking to you because God is big. Right now, as I speak to you, in 1974, he's seen that. He's seen it. He's seen it all. In his world, it's already over. Whom he foreknew, he predestined, he called, he justified, he glorified. Your God is pretty smart. Jesus died and went to Sheol, the place of the living dead. And Sheol is it's like where they say they went to the bosom of Abraham. In other words, the price hadn't been paid. The Old Testament saints, they were there in the bosom of Abraham. Like going to heaven, going to the Lord, he said, they would say, he's gone to the bosom of Abraham. Hades, it was like a holding place. Remember the rich man and the beggar? Where the beggar goes and then the rich man and he wouldn't give him anything. And he said, send me to tell my folks. It was a holding place. Jesus went to Sheol and he took captives captive, and he ascended on high. See how he's breaking all the rules? We were talking about the night at the museum too. Remember that? Don't you cross the line. Yes. Don't cross the line. If you cross the line, I'll kill you. Don't cross the line. Don't touch it. Don't cross the line. Don't speak or I'll kill you. You spoke. You crossed the line and you touched it. I'm going to kill you. You know, it's that whole deal. He crossed the line. He crossed the line. It was hell for the devil and his angels. When I started, he's got a plan. Mary interrupts God's sovereign plan. She's outside there. Jesus is coming out, and he starts talking. What's it say here? He thinks he's the gardener. He says to Mary, he realizes it's the Lord. She goes to grab him and he says, don't touch me. Why? Because he's got a plan. And he's got a plan for me and you. And he's going to bring the blood that is shed by the Lamb before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to atone for all the sin of all time. Don't touch me. But only 8 days later, when he comes to Thomas, he says, put your finger in the hole. Touch me. Why? Because he's working to a plan to redeem you and to redeem me. And he walks out of that grave. I'm enjoying this, so I'm getting lost. Don't touch me. That's it. Don't touch me. Many saints were out of the grave and they were walking around this town. It's like a mini resurrection, and they're coming up through there and they're walking around the town looking, oh, look at that, they've done that shop up, oh, look at that, they put a pool in, oh, look over there. Yeah, it's like what's that band, the Grateful Dead? Well, they're the Grateful Dead. They've been raised and they're going through and they're looking at all this stuff that's been done. And he comes, he says, he scooped us up, including you, from the beginning of time. from the beginning of time. What he was doing was setting us absolutely free. And he scoops all of humanity. Scoops back, scoops forward, scoops because he's been to the future. You're trying to work it out, but he made time. Wow. All things work together for good, for he has been to your future. You cannot lose. You're born to rock. Only you can reject him. Only you. All the power is in your hands. But if you put it in his and work from the heaven to earth, it's yours. It's finished. Not I'm finished. It's finished. We are alive for those that went before us, with us, and after us. We're called to live in three dimensions: history, testimony, and prophecy. What was, and what is to come. We are the body of Christ. In Hebrews 11, 32 to 40, this is your story through here. And what's more, say I, that what would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets, through subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, mouths of lions were quenched, violence by fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became vigilant to fight, turned the armies of strangers, women received their dead, raised up again. And then it goes on. Then it goes, there were scourgings and there's imprisonments and they were sawn in half and they wandered around like sheep and goats and being destitute, afflicted and tormented. And the world was not worthy of them, I bet you it wasn't. And they wandered in the deserts and mountains and dens and caves on the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, did not receive the promise. For God has provided some better thing for us. We have a new covenant, praise God, that they should not be made perfect without us. They need us. This story is bigger than you think. This story is our past. This story is our now. And this story is our tomorrow. You have everything to do with this story. This is your story. They did not receive the promise. The promise because it's coming. They're not made perfect without us. Who's the us? You. You're in the game. They're not going to be made perfect without you. You need to finish this race. This isn't about you getting to heaven. This is about a world getting to heaven. And you have a huge part to play in bringing them with you from yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, he's a big God. Therefore, since we are also surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight of sin that besets us and let us run with patience the race that is set before you, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne. Us, therefore, surrounded not by dead people, but by living people that are cheering you on. If I can say anything, it's run, man, run, man, run. This is our moment and this is our time. This race started a long time ago, Hebrews 11, 40, something better for us so that they only together with us would be made perfect. Us. It is all that have gone before that's here and that is after. This is a big race. We are all of us. That's us. We're in a relay. You don't get prizes for second, third, and fourth. You're on a relay. You're waiting for the fastest man. You're the fastest man and woman. You're it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in this time. You'd be dead. You'd be gone. But you are here, so you are us. Therefore, a great cloud of witnesses, promises fulfilled, something better for all of us.
And the prophets of Matthew 13, 17 say, and we wished we were there to see what you can see. You might have just rocked up to church and gone, well, this is church today. The prophets wished they could be here in this moment and in this time. They want to be you. They want to be you. We are not living for ourselves. We are living for the people that went before us. And they are with us. They are not dead. He is the God of the living, not the dead. The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, alive. They are watching you. They have not received their reward. But it's promised. And it's coming. They're waiting for the fastest man to win the race. They can get what was promised to them. They've been promised. If I say I'm going to give you some money, I promise you that I'm going to give you that. And he's promising he's going to finish. This race started long ago. Saved, we entered the family of God, and we started way before we were born. Long ago, before you were a twinkle in your father's eye, this race started. We came into the eternal family, two sides of eternity. I am not running for myself. I'm running for the people who deserve a reward who haven't been rewarded yet. A great cloud of witnesses. And God, in the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah and Jesus, they break all the rules. They're supposed to be dead. And there they are on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the disciples see them. They break in to our reality. They break in to where we are. The prophets say, I see a good future in Acts 3, 26, 24. From Samuel, the following after, many spoke likewise foretold of these days. In you who are the sons of the prophets and the covenant which God made over your fathers, saying to Abraham, in your seed will all the nations be blessed until now. I know sometimes things get ugly, but he says if it's not beautiful, it's not time. I'm just about... As it is in earth, as it is in heaven. Supposed to be like this. Believe it, or we take away our children's future. That's why we have a driving force to... That's why I go up and down the country. I think that's why, Lyle, you guys are in the ministry, because there's something driving you. There's something in there. There's something coming. There's something moving. There's something that we know that we've stepped into the middle of, and it's moving on, and we need to be part of that. Responsible for three dimensions: those who have not received the reward, those that are with us, and those that are not yet born. Vision must be beyond our generation. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Ecclesiastes 3, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has set eternity in our heart. That's why we have a problem with death. It's because we can't believe that we're dying. And there's a conflict. The thing is that you're not dying. You're living. You're living here and you're living there. And we get tripped up with that. So when we die, it's inexplicable, because it's something that God has placed in us that says this shouldn't happen. So that no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end. We have just scratched the surface. Not living for eternity, but living from eternity. Sitting in heavenly places, called things that are not as if they are. Prophesy. You know what prophecy is? It's the word of God coming out of your mouth. Prophesy out of this destruction. Speak. in the house of God. Speak to people around about you. Prophesy to that broken body. Prophesy to the hope that you have. Prophesy over your grandchildren. Prophesy over your loved one. Speak. I believe, therefore I speak. Speak. I wonder if we could all just stand. The bride has made herself ready. The question is, are you ready? Because this story is going to roll. It's going to roll on. Yeah. And it's going to roll on with you, which you were intended to be part of from the beginning of time. You don't want to miss this. You don't want to miss this. This is big. If you're in the house and you don't know Jesus Christ, who's lived forever, died in forever, and is going to take you into forever, he wants to, I would hate for you to miss this opportunity of the creator of the universe. My best friend is the creator of the universe. It's a song. If there's anyone here and you are uncertain, sure, I want to get you to heaven. But today we want to make you a problem to the devil. To link you with heaven. To prophesy and speak the word of God in your prayer times and over your grandchildren and your children and your wives and your husbands and sons and your daughters. That better be the Holy Spirit ringing. There we go. I was just about to get a move on there. Is there anyone here? Anyone here? Anyone here? Is everybody's heads are bowed and eyes are closed? He wants to link you with your call. He wants to link you with the reason you were born. The reason why you breathe. Why you take up space. Why that space is so important. Why it was there for you. If you want to know him, I wonder if you'd raise your hand so I can see that. Would you do that? You might all be Christians, but I would love for you to respond to the creator of the universe. Because he knew you before you were even born. Is there anyone here? I don't mind. I love getting embarrassed for the kingdom. Anyone today? When I gave my heart to the Lord, it was like pulling teeth. They went on and on and on. My heart was pounding. And I said, if he says that one more time, 10 times later, if he says that one more time, is there anyone here?
succeed, not just to be average. I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds the Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. People are always minimums. Pharisees were just minimums. They did the very minimum. You are going to be benevolent. Do the maximum. Do more than's required. See in me proof of my faith. Not have to tell you what you believe. You and they will see it in your life. Allow him to work through your life. They can't argue with fruit. You do well to believe in God. The devil does too. Do you know faith works? It works. God ordained you. You're a gift of God. By grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself, but a gift of God. In Christ, for good works, you were created for something far more, prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, ordained to walk in faith. You're a young man, you're a young man of God. He wants you to be exemplary, that people see that you surpass the people that do just the minimums. You're not a minimum person. You're from the maximum people. That's your family. That's where you come from. The maximum. I wonder if it'd be all right, young man. This young man here, you can nudge. Would that be all right if I give you a word? Yeah? I just feel something in this place about another generation. And I was pretty excited to see you here this morning. Pretty excited to see you here this morning. I was pretty excited to see there's another three young men that are here, or here, or around somewhere, maybe even helping in youth, I don't know. But I'm pretty excited because God's doing something in this place. Maybe you don't notice it, but I went away and I came back, and this has grown. And this is going to keep growing. And they're going to need people like you. I've come to equip you. What must I do to receive life? Do we assume success? That's how heaven works, but it's not. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, yeah, says the Lord.
Yeah.
Do? No. It's not do. But my spirit, says the Lord. Grace is opposite to your good works. Do nothing to achieve Jesus. We receive Jesus. We don't achieve him. We just receive him. That's all we do. You don't have to qualify for this. You just receive. You don't achieve. Jesus is the one-stop shop. No matter what the problem, Jesus is the answer. Whatever you need him to be, he's been through it all. He's been up your future. He's seen. You have got the confidence, young man, to know that he has been to your future. He has been in your past. He sees the whole thing. Whatever you need him to be. If not answer to everything, then he's not the answer to anything. Today I'm building your perception. Today as I've preached, he wants to build your perception of God. He's got you. And you got to know that. I have got you. To empower your words, to understand on whose behalf you stand and declare. I say I am the Lord of hosts. Who do you say I am? Strike with my full authority. Who do you say he is? Let it come out of your mouth that he's your God, he's your Lord, he holds your future, He holds your past. Who do you say I am? So faith comes when you believe God, then you speak. Yeah? You're a good young man. And the call of God is on your life to do your good. You stand on generational shoulders. Yeah, I can't fly. I win. Awesome. You're a good man. You're a good man. A guy just came to me when I was at a thing at 13. And he just said, I've called you to be a shepherd. One word from God, it changes you. It'll change your life. Believe him. Believe him. It's cool. I mean, we can go on, but I mean, it's up to you. You got time? Awesome. You're a partner. Must understand that we eat from the tree of life. Calvary. It goes back to that. It has fruit on it that gives eternal life. And they ate of the other tree. Thieves on each side and Jesus in the middle. Limited life, eternal. Don't eat of any other trees, Rog. Now, I know you know this, but keep yourself focused. Don't look at any of the other trees or how the trees look to you. This is important. The stuff that's happening around about you, and some things look really, really good. And you go, oh, that looks good. That could be God. But it's how the trees look to God. Adam and Eve, they seen these trees. They look different to God than they did to Adam and Eve. And the trees look different to you than they do to God. Key, God's your pound has gained. So he's talking about money now. Your pound has gained. He multiplies in the way he shows himself. Because you do what he told you to do with the tenth, he will have my pound and it will gain. So he's just speaking about faithfulness and tithing, and I guess you are faithful in tithing, but he's saying actually my tenth, my tree, it'll gain. It'll gain. Faithful over little. What you do now, the test doesn't look like 10 cities. It looks like a little pound. Seems a little unrelated. But Rog, to give you 10 cities, you've got to see the pound for what it is. Invest in him because there's 10 cities behind that pound. You want God to open something up to you and see the tree the way he sees it. Amen. Amen.
I actually don't know exactly who this is for, but while Dad was speaking, I got this real sense that there's one or even a couple of people here who have an issue with animals. And I just really felt like, I don't know who you are, you don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to, but I just really felt like God wants you to know today that he actually gave you dominion over those animals. That when that fear hits you and you're like, I don't want to get close to this thing, get it away from me, he wants you to know that actually he's actually right there with you and that you can actually claim dominion over that animal. I'll give you an example because testimony is an amazing thing. All right, so my sister asked me to look after her horse that she was looking after. And this horse was a biter. It was a kicker. Didn't like anybody except for my sister getting anywhere near it. It particularly did not like being washed, groomed, or anything like that. All right? So this is a horse that you like. You put the food down and you walk away. Except I had to sunblock its nose. So I had to get close to its mouth. And it didn't want a bar of it. So I'm in this paddock, I'm trying to get this horse to come in close. I'm trying to get it to come in close. I've got the food. I'm standing right over the food. I'm like, just eat your food, you know. I'll do you while you're eating. You won't even notice I'm here, but it wouldn't have a bar of it. And in a moment, I remembered a story that my mum told me, where she had advised someone to take dominion over the animal that was terrifying her. And when she did, on a dime, that animal swapped from being a terrifying aggressor to, will you love me? So in that moment, I went, what have I got to lose? And I just said, Lord, make this animal behave the way that you designed it to behave. And I said, Jack, you do what God has told you to do, and you come here right now. You turn around and you come here. And I kid you not, the horse that was facing away from me, that didn't want a bar of me, turned around, walked right up to me with his head down low. And I said, lift your head up. And his head popped up. And he stood there, and he let me sunblock him without an issue. And I then later took him and I washed his feet. And I had people at the stables say, I don't think I'd be doing that. Because he was a kicker. He didn't like to be washed. Didn't move. Lifted his foot slightly. I said, put it down. Put it down. Because God gave you dominion over the birds and the animals. And so whoever it is, I don't know who you are, but whatever is happening in your life with this animal, whether it's a dog, a horse, a bird, whatever it is that is causing fear and anxiety, you? All right, well, if you're okay, can I pray for you? But most importantly is that he really wants you to know that he actually gave you dominion over that animal, all animals. And so I challenge you that before you get to that house when you're walking, I challenge you to think of that animal and go, God, make that animal behave the way that you designed it in Jesus' name. I challenge you to do that because he will move for you, and that animal is under your control.
I know God was with me because I'm a panicker, and I just stayed as calm as I looked straight ahead. He did come up and bite me, and I just kept walking slowly.
Well, God designed the animal not to do that.
So let's pray. Yeah.
I'm just going to come in behind so I can put the hand on your back. Shira rabo kiora bakidra.
Share it about Kutos. Whatever animal it is, Father, we just rebuke the devourer. Father, that she would be the woman that you intended her to be. With boldness, Lord, in strength, I believe, therefore I speak. Father, calm that dog. Cause it to be the way you intended it to be from the beginning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Your sin.
Thank you. You know, you come in here and when I look at you, I feel happy. You know, you give something out. And you need to know that. But he's saying, it's not of yourself, but take no thought for your life. What you eat, what you drink, your body. Are you not much better than they? You are much better than they. Yes, you are. Why take thought for clothes, looking for a second opinion? God's just wanting to come and say, hey, don't look for other people's approval. You've got mine. You've got mine. Take no thought for what you drink or you clothe. Gentiles go after these things, but seek first the kingdom of God. They have no covenant. You have a covenant. But seek first the kingdom of God. Take no thought. Why? Because you have divine favor. You've got to know that. Everyone in this room must know, after what we've spoken about today, that you have divine favor. Be the same. I've written here three times. Be the same. Be the same. Be the same. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because he is the same, you can be the same. Because he is generous and kind. Every kind of good flows out of him to you. Look to him. Don't look to yourself. There's favor on your life. And when you come into this house, you do something in a service that is lax when you're not here. Yeah. Truly, because when I look across, there's people that catch my eye, you know, and there are people that give, that something that's coming from them. You're part of the building.
Yeah.
You're part of the building block in this place. Yeah. Jesus' name. Yeah, yes. Yep, no. Father, we pray, my God, now we started off this service. And Lord, you said, Father, that we had to put away distractions. And Father, you redeemed us. And Father, that you would let us know today, and our heart has changed. On this day, that you can move and you can shift something on this day. Father, you can do that. You've done it before.
Yes.
You've done great things. He has done great things. They will not be shaken. You are the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. You have a plan. And today we as a congregation submit to your plan in Waikiki. Father, we know that you have a plan. And Father, as I go out and come back, I see the plan working out. But sometimes when you're sitting in it, you don't see it. But Father, you're working a divine plan.
Yeah,
Father, we pray for every single person here today that understands where they are, that they're here for past, for now, and for the people in the future, and that they're creating something, and people are going to be saved from a lost eternity by simply lifting Christ up and allowing the Holy Spirit to inhabit these vessels in Jesus' name. We pray right now in the name of Jesus for your mighty hand, for our security that's in Christ, in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. The all said,
Amen.
Amen.